as we continue looking at those events leading up to and around the birth of our Savior. Today's title is Mary's Discoveries. Things that Mary learned that we get to learn as well concerning the birth of Christ. You know, 400 years had passed from the last prophet, Malachi to Matthew. And we find that the prophets and the men of God, Ezra and Nehemiah, Esther and Malachi, are sent out during that Persian Empire and that time period. And then we don't hear. We don't have any of the Word of God from that point on up to the time of the Gospels. And then there is a flurry of angelic activity that takes place in the world as the time of the fulfillment of this prophecy is poured out. We find the appearance of Gabriel to Mary, the place of Galilee in the city of Nazareth. Mary is awaiting her marriage to Joseph. And we're going to look at what Mary discovered in this encounter with the angel Gabriel. Let's turn into Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again for your word that you've given to us. We thank you for this, the descriptions of what you have implied here and what you teach us. And Lord, we thank you for this event of miracles that you have displayed and poured out to the world that we get to be partakers of. And Lord, as we remember that during this season, we remember you. We remember what you've done for us. We remember why you came and that you're not done. And we thank you, Lord, for your love for mankind and giving us the opportunity to receive eternal life, to receive salvation, to be forgiven of sin. And as we come before you this morning, Lord, that you might work in each one of our hearts, drawing us closer to you. You know us, and you know what we need. And may your Holy Spirit work to give us and to strengthen us and to guide us and to teach us and to correct us, that we might have a closer walk with you day by day and moment by moment. and that you might be glorified in our life from this moment on. And we praise you and we thank you for being here with us. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at this passage today and we look at different parts of it, we're going to start with the fact that Mary discovered that God's plans are eternal. What Mary discovered is the same thing we need to discover, and that is the fact that God is eternal and God's plans are eternal. He is from everlasting to everlasting. So many times we limit ourselves because we limit ourselves in time. God is not limited by time. And so we must understand that though we exist in time right at the present, God does not. And as we think about that, we learn that God plans and puts his motions in order. And Mary is seeing that, and we get to see that in this text as well. You know, Mary most likely had plans of her own. Every one of us, as a teenager, starts making plans. What we're going to do with our life. Where we're going to go to college. What kind of job we're going to have. Who we're going to marry. And how many times do those plans get altered? Almost always. How many times do we seek God to say, God, what do you want for my life? What direction do you want me to go in? Lord, who do you want me to marry? Lord, what schooling or job do you want me to have? And so many times we jump out there. But you know, God already knows. And as we look at Mary, Mary is unique, and we see that in the text, that she is highly chosen of God. I believe she had a relationship with God to where she loved the Lord. And she was willing to do whatever he wanted. And she probably had dreams, you know, of a young woman. They have dreams. Remember? Back in your life, the dreams that you had, the ideas that you had. And you know, sometimes we mess those up. Sometimes we think somebody else messes them up. But you know what? God still knows. And God uses those things in our life to help us to serve him. Her dreams, her plans. You know, every day, every month, every year, we make plans. And it's so easy to fail in those plans at times. New Year's resolutions that get a lot of attention in January and in February, and then by March and April they start dwindling down. And what causes that? It's the world bombarding us with all kinds of things, drawing us away from the Lord and those commitments to the Lord. Our plans get changed. But how do we deal with those changes? How do we deal with those things that happen like that? With God. The focus here on Mary's life was that her life was going to change drastically. We see that. She didn't know it was going to happen. She got an announcement that your life is never going to be the same again. And it was okay. Because of her relationship with the Lord. Gabriel brings that life-changing message to her. Mary had found favor with God. In verse 28, as he greets her, he says, "Thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." She was chosen, she was selected to bear the Christ child, the anointed Son of God. And he also tells her, "Fear not, Mary," in verse 30. "Don't be afraid, for for thou hast found favor with God. You know, we can learn from that. If God wants us to do something, we don't have to be afraid. If God chooses us for something, then He will be with us through that. But what if it changes my life? What if it changes my plans? Is it God's eternal plan more important than our temporary plans? Gabriel brings the message that Mary would conceive before marriage. In verse 31, he says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb." You know, this would cause a major change in Mary's life. It would have both positive and adverse effects in her life because of the Jewish law, because of the situation itself. And yet, because of her relationship with the Lord, she had to know that God was going to use her in a great way. You think, wow, if she was highly favored of God, and she had to go through all of that, you know what? She had to go through a whole lot more than that. The other end of Christ on the cross, she went through as well. That little baby that she held in her arms, she was there when he was hanging on the cross, her child. She went through a lot. But she was selected by God, and her strength came from God. And Mary discovered that God's plans are eternal. Mary would have a son before ultrasound, before pictures that tells you you're going to have a son. Mary knew before she conceived she was going to have a son and was told to name him Jesus. Wow, how could that be? It's not possible for any doctor to be able to tell us these things. But it is with God. In verse 32 of Luke 1, it says, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." I think at this announcement, Mary was still like, wow, what's going on? And she thinks about these things. She had to live with this message that came to her, this announcement of her life change that was going to take place. Thinking about these things and what was going to happen to her. What was going to happen between her and Joseph? What's going to happen with her, with this child? It sounds amazing. It sounds like a miracle. But when you put it into your life, there's a reason the angel said, "Fear not." Don't let these things shake you up. God is with you. God is watching over you. God will provide for you. And you know, we have the opportunity today to look back and see all of what transpired, what took place. And we can say, well, God took care of her. But put yourself in that situation of not knowing what's coming, of not knowing how you're going to take care of this child financially. Comes back to trust in God, doesn't it? Having faith in God. And we see that in Mary's life. So we understand that God works with an eternal plan. He works with an eternal plan. He knows what's happening tomorrow and a year from tomorrow. In Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, it says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God. and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. God is going to do what he wants to do, because he's God. In verse 33, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. This is the Messiah. This is why Christ has come. You know, we should make our plans with eternity's values in view, looking at what is to come. Turn with me over to James chapter 4. Verse 13 through 15. Go to now, ye that say, tomorrow, today or tomorrow, we shall go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So many times we make plans. I'm gonna do this. And we set out this plan. But as the Bible teaches us, we need to be careful with that. Because God is going to work in our life. We know not how long we have to live. And if you've lived very long, you understand that things can change quickly in your life. You can be going along and everything's working just fine, and wham, you lose your job. And you move to another country or move to another area. And you have to totally redo everything. Start over. You can be going along and you lose your health. And what do? You move from that point forward. Things will change. It will. And it does. The key is, are we going to let God lead us through those changes? Are we going to still stand beside him and with him through those changes? Do we understand that these changes God is aware of? And that God sees the bigger picture? Second point is that Mary discovered that God's promises are unfailing. When God makes a promise, it is secure. It will not fail. You know, Mary would have been familiar with promises about the Messiah. Who the Messiah was not known. But the fact that there would be a Messiah or the Christ, the anointed one of God, would come, was prophesied, and you can read about that in the Old Testament, of the coming. In fact, it tells it in Isaiah, and we looked at last week, that he would be born of a virgin. We find that he would come. He would be the one sent to rule on David's throne, which was announced to Mary. We find that he would be born of a virgin, which was, again, mentioned in Isaiah chapter 7. He would be born in Bethlehem, brought out in Micah 5. Who he was, his purpose, what he would do, names he would be called, all of these things are told in the Old Testament. But Jesus, to the Jews, was not this person. But Jesus to Mary was this person. Jesus to Joseph was this person. Because they had a relationship with the Lord, and they got to know him. John the Baptist knew who Jesus was. I believe there were others early on that knew who Jesus was. And then as time progressed, many others come to know Jesus as the Messiah, as the anointed one of God, the Holy One. And even today, there are some that are coming to know this Jesus for the first time. The coming of the Messiah. When we look at time, centuries had passed without these promises being fulfilled. As I mentioned at the beginning, 400 years had passed from the last prophet of God. And it's known as the silent years, or the time that there wasn't a lot of message from God coming out. They had been taken captive. They had been scattered around. And we have to realize that even this is God's plan. So when all of this starts happening, you know, many times we think of it's the birth of Christ. But think of the great announcement in time. All of these years that there has not been anything from God coming to man as far as announcements. And all of a sudden, here it is. You know, God works like that. All of a sudden, are you ready for what God's going to do today? As time passes, unless the Word of God is fresh in man's heart, the promises turn into stories, stories turn into myth, and they're forgotten. People forget so easily what God has done, what God has promised, what God has said. Many times, even we as Christians, we need reminded of the promises of God. We need reminded of what Jesus has done for us. In fact, He has given us communion to do that. Do this in remembrance of me, He says. Remember Him. Remember what He's done. So I believe it's equally important to remember His coming. Why He came. How He came. According to the Word of God. Must remember that the promises of God will be fulfilled. If God tells us He's going to do something, it will happen. We know it can happen because He's able to do it. Even those things that are not physically possible, even those things that man has never seen before, but also the simple things that happen every day, the day-by-day living that we're in. He's part of that. The promises, and many times because we're right in the middle of those promises, we don't see them. Fulfilled prophecy. How many people saw the fulfillment of prophecy when Jesus was born? There were some. There were some seeking it. There were some looking. But not everyone. We find that Gabriel reveals to Mary that she will give birth to the promised one. The one who was promised of God. You can go back into the beginning of Genesis. And it talks about the one who would come. Who would crush the serpent's head. The Bible talks about the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, before God made what we have and what we see. God's plan was in motion for the Messiah to redeem mankind, for Christ, for God Himself to become man, Emmanuel, to live with us, to behold His glory. So we find that Mary is the vessel chosen to bring forth the promise of God. Mary is the only vessel that was chosen to bring forth the Son of God. There has never been another, and there never will be there is one Son of God. His name, Jesus Christ. He came with an intent and a purpose to do the work of his Father, to redeem mankind. And he fulfilled that. Praise the Lord. He went to the cross as the Lamb of God for our sins. Three days later, he arose. Amen? And a short time after that, he ascended. And he's coming back again, the Bible says. He's not done. This one, when we look at it from that perspective, it's exciting because we see the work of God. But put ourselves right smack in the middle of it, and it's a little harder to work with. Well, you know what? We are right smack in the middle of it. We are between the beginning and what is to come, which tells us God's promises are being worked out around us all the time. All the time. Our eyes then can see them if we know where to look. And God's word is where we look. And he shows them to us. How were people able to see Christ, to know who he was, to know where to look for him? From the word of God. Why is it so important for us to be in the word of God? Because this is how God gives us instruction and guidance, helps us to deal with those situations in life, is to be in his word, listening to his promises, living what he says. So Mary is a vessel. Are you a vessel? Are you excited about the unfailing promises of God? You know, sometimes when you're reading through the Bible, you ought to have a notebook off to the side and just write down the promises that you come across as you're reading the Bible. And as you write them down, and as you read through God's Word, you can look back and say, you know what, that promise has already been fulfilled right here. And you can write that verse out right next to it. And as you read a little further, you can say, you know what? This one has been fulfilled. God has done that already. And you can write that one down right there. And as we read through the Bible, we understand, you know, God makes promises and God fulfills his promises. But here's some that are not fulfilled yet. And you say, he's not done. He's still working. And I'm still here. So I get to be part of that. Do you realize? Many times we think, well, if God doesn't use me to do some great miraculous thing in the world, then God's not using me. God uses us every day. Every day. We'll give ourselves to him. Every moment. To be who we need to be to represent Christ. Are you excited about the promises of God? And Mary discovered that God's power is unlimited. You know, we have a limited power source in our world today as mankind. When the electricity goes off, you experience limited power source. When your car runs out of gas, you experience limited power source. What happens? You don't go anywhere. You can't see anything. But God has an unlimited power source. Do we believe that? Do we trust God with his unlimited power? Can God do whatever he wants to do? Well, our obvious answer is yes. But do we believe it? Can God do whatever he wants to do with me? Well, that's different. You know, I have plans. No, God is God. The Bible, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth and under the earth. Is God God? Is he all powerful? Does all power belong to him? It does. So as we look at this, you know, Mary is confused. Have you ever been confused when God tells you something? We get confused at times, don't we? What is God really saying here? God, be more clear. Maybe he says, listen better. In Luke 1:34 it says, and then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? How can this happen to me? I know what I've done and haven't done. How can this happen? With man, it is impossible, but not with God. And we find that answer given to her as the angel answers and says unto her in verse 35, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the whole power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. This is how it will happen. How can it be? You know, sometimes we ask God these questions in our own life. How can this be? How can this happen? But we need the same thing that Mary had here. Trust in God. Reliance upon him. Understanding that he's outside of our little vapor of time. And yet he's choosing to use us in that vapor in time. God has also proven his power in Elizabeth, Mary's cousin. As the angel announced to her in verse 36 that she hath also conceived a son in her old age and is in the sixth month with her who was called barren. Now, you can read about that one as well. Another miracle that was taking place a few months earlier with Elizabeth and Zacharias, and the one we would know to be called John the Baptist, and the events that took place with them. The woman who was beyond time of being able to bear a child. It's impossible, right? Wow, not with God. God had a special purpose with them. How would they get through it? How could she handle that physically? God took care of her. God will take care of us through situations that we think are impossible. Just like he did here. And Mary went to see Elizabeth and stayed with her for 3 months, which would be the time that she would be full term. And you can read about that when Mary enters into the presence of Elizabeth, which tells you at that moment that child that was in Mary was very young. Was recognized by the child that was in Elizabeth. John the Baptist leaped in the womb, the presence of God, the child, the Christ child, the Son of God, was in Mary at that time. We must understand that with God all things are possible. As the angel proclaims in verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. We know that. We say that. But when it gets hard on our life, do we believe it? Do we trust Him? I know that God can do anything He wants, but, leave the but out. I know God can do whatever He wants. And our response should be just like Mary's. Be it unto me, even as thou hast said. Lord, not my will, but your will. Show me, Lord, what you would have me to do. Where would you have me to go? What you want. And give me the strength and the ability to walk with you to be able to do those things. Mary did not have an easy life. I can guarantee you that. She had a child. And immediately she had somebody trying to kill her child. She had to flee into a foreign country and live there for a while. Her son was smarter than her. And ran away or didn't come home when he was supposed to come home. He caused her to go through situations as a mother that are very common, and yet she went through situations as well as a mother that no one else has gone through because of who he was. Can we learn from her? Can we learn the things that she discovered? We can. You know, God works with us, but He also works outside of our limitations. I've had people tell me, well, that's not possible. And I always grin, and I always will, because I know with God, nothing is impossible. Sure, it hasn't happened before. Sure, man has never seen it done that way before. But you know what? If God says He wants something done a certain way, it's going to happen. It's a promise. And we can rely on Him. You know, Mary's discoveries are demonstrated in the gospel itself. God's plans are eternal. We see the picture of the cross. The giving of Himself as a man for mankind to appease, to fulfill the sacrifice that had to take place to redeem mankind. And God accepted that sacrifice. Mary discovered that God's promises are unfailing. He will do what He says. And even though Christ was crucified and buried, He was not done. As gloomy of a time as those 3 days had to be for those who were mourning His death, He told them and us that He would rise again. And that was a promise. And in 3 days, that promise was fulfilled. He rose again. Shows us the resurrection. And God's power is unlimited. New birth to those who believe. He can take a filthy sinner and create in that person Christ-like nature, a Christ-like person, a new man. Only God can do that. As much as we try, we can't change people. Sometimes as much as we'd like to, straighten somebody out. God is the only one who can do that. And God knows how to do that best. New birth is a picture of the power of God at work. Do you look at it that way when someone receives Christ? The picture of the power of God working in a newborn life. Person growing. I want to encourage you today to receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord and live in His plan. If you have never trusted Him, trust Him today. If you have never received Him, receive Him today. And if you have, then live according to His plan. Let your plans be His plans. Let His plans be laid out in your life. Day by day, moment by moment. And live in His plan and in His promises. Realizing that you are part of His promise and in His power. He provides for each one of us the resources that we need spiritually to live in this life. Until this flesh is done. Until our course is run. Until He says, come home. It's time to come home. Be ready. Be ready to go when He says, come. But be ready to go when He also says, go. Be ready to hear. Be ready to follow. Be ready. And we can be ready with God's word. Let's stand together. Father, we thank You.